Thank you so much for tuning in to our church podcast. You can go to otarapentecost.com for questions about services and how to donate. We pray that you are blessed by this message today. God bless.
Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight? I know I am. I am thankful always for the opportunity to be here in the house of the Lord, but especially humbled and honored to be able to speak about my God and to speak of the Word of God and to speak on what He put in my heart. I'm excited because I'm going to be able to talk about a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about this lovely trip me and my wife were able to go on, and we're hoping to share some of that experience with you here tonight. I prepared a little slideshow for you guys just so you can get a glimpse of exactly what it is we got to enjoy out there. So if you could go ahead and start the slideshow, please. All right. So to those that haven't heard, me and my wife just recently traveled to Guatemala. And that was a lovely trip. But as you can see from the first photo here, this is Lago de Atitlan. So this is the Atitlan Lake. And as you can see, there's volcanoes, lots of them. And I will elaborate a little more on that. But we were blessed by the opportunity and experience to go get to know some of the roots. Because to those who don't know, I'm half Mexican and I'm half Guatemalan. But I'm also an American, and I am thankful. So praise God. But yeah, we got to go see and learn and enjoy. So if you can go ahead and show us the next slide, please. So to those of you who don't know, I am a big foodie. Oh boy, do I love food. I mean, everywhere I travel, everywhere I go, food is one of those things I have to do hours and hours of research on. I wanna try what's good in that area, much like Brother Jeff. We were just talking about Boston. He's going to try a bunch of good Boston food. And man, someday I will be able to relate to that and go to Boston. But as you can see, the photo on the left there, that is your traditional. This is what most people have every morning, the traditional Guatemalan breakfast. So it's called desayuno chapin. So chapin, what's chapin? Well, chapin is what people who are from Guatemala, they identify themselves as. That's like, I guess like an American would call themselves American, right? That's just like a nickname for people that are from Guatemala. And they take a lot of pride in the chapin name. So, but yeah, that is the traditional breakfast. You got fried plantains, beans, eggs, and I was able to have a phenomenal papaya drink. So that was super awesome. To anyone who has traveled outside of the States, have you ever been to a McDonald's outside of the States? You will find that they typically have exclusive items on their menu that are just amazing. So again, I had to try a McMuffin Super Chapin. So if you could guess from that, from just the title, it's going to have a lot of your good fixin' stuff from the Desayuno Chapin in there. So sure enough, they got the fried plantain. They got some black beans in there, and it was amazing. It really was. Oh, I miss it so much. And on the right, so this is what they would call the caldo de gallina. So that's like a soup with chicken broth, and it has wild chicken. That's what makes it so much better. It's not processed chicken. This is as good as this chicken gets, right? And it was just phenomenal. Yeah, I miss their food very much. So go ahead, next slide. So this right here just happens to be the area in which my grandma lives. And to give you a little backstory on this area here, This is on the outskirts of the Guatemala City. So Guatemala City is just as big as, you know, you could say Seattle. It's the capital of Guatemala, so of course it's going to be big. But in this specific area here, there is lots of elevation gain, right? So this is where you're going to find most of the people who can't really afford to live in the city. I know the picture is a little small, but those are all shacks you're going to see on the hillside. And it was a real culture shock because, you know, out here we have these amazing luxuries. We have a beautiful home. You know, most of us have a beautiful home, if not a really nice apartment, right? Out there, they don't have the luxury of having AC and heating. Thankfully, the weather is tropical, so they don't really need many of those things. But poverty is really big out there. And we definitely learned that and saw that firsthand out there. And so she would have to, so my grandma, she would have to go miles up steep hills to go to the closest store to buy her groceries, anything she may need, right? So yeah, that could be a very difficult life to live. Very difficult life to live in. But I just wanted to get, like, I wanted to really see for myself. Unfortunately, she did pass a few years back, and I was never able to see it while she was there. But I told myself I would eventually go, and we finally were able to go. Next slide, please. So we were able to travel to the lovely Antigua Guatemala. So this is one of your most famous worldwide destinations. It truly is super historical. A lot of Catholic influence in the whole area. But it's a very photogenic spot, as you can tell by my wife and that lovely photo there. So yeah, that's what they would call the Catalina Arch. And on the right, that was in the Guatemala City, so the capital there. And in Espanol, la capital. Go ahead, next slide, please. And we were able to go to the zoo there because the zoo is one of their biggest attractions there, believe it or not. And I don't know if you can peep it on the left there. Can you guys see that little tiny critter right behind Natalie on the left? What is it? Can someone guess? It's a lemur. We were able to get up close and personal with lemurs. And we were able to feed the giraffes. This is an incredible experience. And if you don't know, a giraffe is her favorite animal. So I was happy to be there, part of that. Her favorite mammal, right? Is that the correct term? Mammal. Next slide, please. We were able to go to Omitenango. And one thing I do want to point out about the name Omitenango, you could probably guess, what's the first part of that word say? Hobbit. So this is an area that is, you could almost say it's about hobbits, essentially, right? I mean, look at the photo on the right there. You have the Palm, which is like a huge photo destination there. But we were able to go there and take some nice photos with a volcano in the background. I mean, not many people could say that. And I got a picture with my dad and my uncle on the left there. Keep in mind that I just met that uncle for the first time, and he was a phenomenal host to us. So we were very happy to go. Next slide, please. And for those wondering, there are a total of 37 volcanoes. We saw plenty of them on the flight there. There are lots of volcanoes. And those are official volcanoes. There's more that are unofficial. Three of them currently active. There is one that is always smoking, as you can see on the photo on the left. That one's always just spewing a little bit out there. And on the right, again, Lake Atitlan. We're able to take a nice little photo there. Next slide, please. And we were blessed with the opportunity to take a tour while we were out there. We were able to see many villages in where around Lake Atitlan, where they have many villages. And we were able to take a tour at a cocoa place where they make chocolate, right? Where does chocolate come from? It comes from the cocoa plant. So we were able to see the whole process and harvesting and the way they grind it to make, you know, cocoa butter, right? There's so many products that we use nowadays that have cocoa in it. Or cacao, sorry. That's technically probably the right way to say it, cacao. So we were able to see that. And yeah, Natalie took a great photo of a beautiful skyline with umbrellas, and there was a lot of great, cool stuff like that. Next slide, please. So you're probably wondering what those tiny little carts are there. So this is probably one of my mom's favorite things about Guatemala. She just absolutely loves and adores them, but this is what you call a tuk-tuk. Everybody loves riding them. They just do, and these drivers are phenomenal. They do a great job, but any tourist attraction area in Guatemala, you will find a tuk-tuk. Next slide, please. Now this is, you'll see this everywhere in Guatemala. Guatemala is a very culturally rich place as far as the Mayans go, and this is the very regular, you'll see a lot of this kind of dress out there. And then this is all handmade, by the way. They make their own clothes out there. And I remember on the tour, we were able to ask one of the ladies who was showing us the process of making it. I asked her, how long did it take you to make your shirt? She said it took a month, a whole month to hand sew it. So it goes to show, you know, they really put in lots of work and effort into making that attire that they wear, right? So, yeah, very indigenous, 26 Mayan languages. Can you believe that? That is a lot of different languages. And we were fortunate to see some people, and you can hear them, you know, interact in their different Mayan languages, and it was incredible. I think that was the last slide, right? Okay. Well, we really were looking forward to and sharing the little bit that we got to see there. Of course, there's many more photos, but we wanted to give you guys, if anything, a taste and a glimpse of the experience we were able to have in Guatemala. And you better believe we will be back. One thing that really stood out to me while we were in Guatemala too was the hospitality. It's very different out there. You go to a restaurant, you're going to have a really good experience because they really take care of you. They have this, they always say these things when you're at the table, buen provecho. So I'm sure some of us have heard that before where, what would be... Do you know a good translation for that? Buen provecho, just enjoy your meal. That's like a way of saying enjoy your meal. They're very generous, overly generous. I love it. And then they always say, aquí para servirle. Here to serve you. Tell me how many times you hear that around here. You don't hear that much. You really don't. As a matter of fact, they'll get mad at you if you look at them weird or something. You know, they'll spit in your food. Who knows what they'll do. But out there, no, they don't do stuff like that. You know, they're very generous, and they just want to make sure everyone has a really good eating experience out there. But, you know, aquí para servirle, if only we can think like that. Not just Guatemalans, everyone. That should be the motto of a Christian, here to serve you, right? Because we're here to serve God, but we're also here to spread the gospel, right? We're here to spread the love of God to everyone around us, right? We need to have that same mentality. We're here to serve you. Let me help you. I would like to help you. Please allow me to help you, right? Another great thing that really stuck out to me about Guatemala, 40% of the population are evangelical Protestant. So if evangelicals is very big over there. Christianity is very big. And I have to say, most of these Protestants are Pentecostals. So this is a super cool thing that we share with Guatemalans. And if you look, you could find even online, you'll see videos. They definitely believe in Pentecost and the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And it's such a beautiful thing to see. And that right there is kind of my shoe into my lesson today. So if you could show us our lesson title, please. Your Day of Pentecost. We all need a day of Pentecost. Amen. We don't just need one day of Pentecost. We need every day to be a day of Pentecost. Amen. So we're going to open with Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Oh, perfect. He's got it up there. Look at that. So I'll just, before I guess we start getting into this, let's do a quick prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to be here in this church tonight, Lord Jesus, God. I pray, God, that there be a hunger, God, that we understand the need for Pentecost, the need for the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, God. Speak into our hearts, speak into our minds, Jesus, God. We want to receive of your word tonight, Lord Jesus, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so let us start with the reading of the word. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." We're all in one accord in one place right now, amen? Next verse there. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." I mean, imagine that. Imagine it happened right now. We would all be in awe of God's, the way he moves. And he does it here. I've seen it happen here. I've seen the Spirit of God move here. It moves here on a regular basis, right? As long as we, the vessels, are hungry and want, the Lord will pour out on us. Amen? "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Keyword, all. Everyone in that room was filled with the Holy Ghost. No one left behind. Everyone. "And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, do we need that Holy Spirit. We really do. So question, I have a question for you. What does it mean to be a Pentecostal? I would love if someone wants to go ahead and give us an answer. Anyone, not all at once, it's okay. Anyone have an opinion? What does it mean to be a Pentecostal? Please. Amen. I love it. Yeah, that's a phenomenal answer. That's a great answer. Let me elaborate on that a little bit. Not only do we believe in that experience, right? We believe in Holy Ghost baptism, which is the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost, correct? Speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Just like it happened in the book of Acts. So if you hear us reading out of the book of Acts a lot, that's probably why, because we really believe in that experience. That experience is important to us. We need that experience not just today. We need it tomorrow. We need it every day of our lives, every week. We just want it. We want the Holy Ghost to move upon us because we need it. Amen. And next verse, please. So that would be Acts 2:38. And this one, we know it well. If you're new here or haven't been here long, maybe this one you haven't heard a lot, but we hear it a lot because this one's very important to us. We love this one. This one's our bread and butter, right? So then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I just want to point out that first part. Repent. We all need to do it. We need to do it every day. We need to do it all the time. The fact of the matter is we fail, and we fail often because we're human. We're not God. We can't. We're not free of sin as Jesus is, right? He's not. He is perfect, right? We are not that. We all understand that. We need repentance. That is a staple. That is something we should be practicing often, right? The next part of that is being baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, right? So we acknowledge we are sinners, right? Now we need that baptism in the name of Jesus to wash those sins away, right? And then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It is, in fact, a gift. We are blessed to have the Holy Ghost. If we didn't have the Holy Ghost, oh, man, we'd probably be lost, because I don't know about you, that Holy Ghost is what gets me through the day, amen? Okay. So my next question, why are we Pentecostal? There's a reason. There's a reason. There's many reasons, right? We believe being filled with the Holy Ghost is God in us, right? The Holy Spirit in us is the source of wisdom, the source of strength. It is even the source of salvation. The goal is to be led by God's Holy Spirit through all of life's journey. I don't want to go a day without it, right? How does the song go? Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, right? We need God. I want to be in God's presence. I want to have God in me, amen? At all times. So with the help of God's, her holy word to speak to us, bringing forth that revelation, conviction, and wisdom. We need the Holy Spirit to do those things in us. Amen? So when I say wisdom, you know, wisdom as in, you know, it give the Holy Spirit is our moral compass, correct? It is how we have good judgment. Right? Because without the Holy Spirit, we're going to think all sorts of things, and we're going to be all over the place, right? The Holy Spirit gives us mental clarity and peace. Holy Spirit also gives us strength, right? It's what gives us power over sin. If you're struggling with sin, that's all the more reason. You need the Holy Spirit. You got to seek after it like you've never seeked after it before. Amen. I'm sorry. And by strength, it also gives you the resilience to the attacks of the enemy. Because I'll tell you what. As long as you're seeking the Holy Ghost, the enemy, he knows. He knows, and he's going to keep trying to hit you with things here and there. He's like, oh, I know his weakness. I'll just hit him with this. I'll hit him with that. Oh, he struggles here. He struggles there. The enemy knows your weakness. I promise you. He knows your weakness. But as long as we know our strength, there's nothing that can come against us, right? Nothing can come against the Holy Ghost. Nothing can come against God. Amen? So the Holy Ghost, right, is how we keep our salvation. It's how we earn and keep our salvation. There is redemption in the Holy Ghost. There is freedom from bondage in the Holy Ghost. Amen? And next we're going to read Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, please. Okay, there it is. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That gives me so much hope and so much confidence to know that someday it is promised by God that my children will get the Holy Ghost. I believe it. I claim it. I speak it into existence. I know it's going to happen because God said it, right? So it shall come to pass. What does that mean? It means it's promised by God. Amen? It was prophesied, which means it's a spoken word of God, right? So God seeks a repentant heart. Amen? That's how we make room. That's how we allow for God to enter in, is by having a repentant heart. Now, once you allow that repentant heart, an outpouring happens. God starts moving. Things start happening in you that you can't explain because it's such a beautiful, supernatural experience, right? It is a personal experience to receive of the Holy Ghost. Every experience is unique to you in God, and that's what I love about it so much. Yes, we can all receive the Holy Ghost, but I can't necessarily receive it the same way that person received it. Maybe I'm not speaking the same tongues that he's speaking, but it's unique to me and God, and God knows what's happening because God orchestrated it. Amen? Now, I can say this when I speak from experience. There is no greater feeling than receiving the Holy Ghost for the first time. I still remember it. Many of us, I'm sure we do. Amen? If it can happen there like it did in the upper room, right? There's no reason it can't happen here. I believe in Richland. I believe in the Tower of Pentecost that it can happen here. Amen? Now, I did a little homework, per se. I really wanted to find out a little more about this Pentecost, you know what I mean? And turns out in history, I don't know how many of you have heard of the Azusa Street Revival, right? That was a phenomenal movement in history led by William Seymour. So he moved to Los Angeles to minister. He preached on holiness. He started his own work to preach his newfound Pentecostal doctrine, because the church he had started at, they didn't really like too much that he was getting into this Pentecostal stuff. So he went up, started his own work. So this would go on to be the site of one of the biggest revivals out there in Azusa Street. So for 3 years continually, they were in a revival. I mean, this was happening every day. This is a phenomenal movement that was happening. People were just seeking after the Holy Ghost like never before. 3 years continuously, there were physical healing miracles happening. There were phenomenal worship services taking place and speaking in tongues because they sought after it. Amen? So this influenced a Pentecostal boom in the 20th century. Amen? So when I first arrived to a Pentecostal church, I had many questions. I had many doubts. I even went as far as thinking, these people are crazy. You know, I'm sure most of us, when we come to a first time, this is a very new experience to all of us. It really is. I mean, even going into a church for the first time, that's already a new experience. You add in the fact that it's a Pentecostal church, whoo, you're in for a ride, amen? But I didn't know then what I know now. As a teen, I was ignorant. I judged those people. I laughed at those people. I would even avoid them. At that time, I lacked understanding. Yet, I desired answers. You may not understand it, but the fact that you don't understand it, questions will arise. And then a spirit of curiosity will enter into your mind, and you're going to want to know, what is it that they have that I've been missing my whole life? That is the Holy Ghost, and that's what we need, amen? So I would ask, would God do that to me? Would he do it for me? Am I good enough to be spirit-filled? These are all questions we ask. Sometimes we come into church with a lot of shame and condemnation and a weight and a burden. You know, we think we're not good enough. God promised it to all of us. Doesn't matter what your history is. He doesn't care about that. You're a soul in his eyes, and he loves you. He wants each and every single one of you, amen? So it wasn't till God broke through in my life. Man, when I felt God speak through me, when I spoke in tongues for the first time, oh my goodness, I remember it like it was yesterday. A weight had been lifted. I felt instant deliverance. I started seeing life from a new lens. Everything was different. What I believed back then, it all changed that day. My perspective, I started seeing things as if I was seeing it through God's perspective. It was incredible. God changed my way of thinking because the Holy Spirit entered in. It was a complete rewiring. It was a complete renewing. Amen. Truth is, receiving the Holy Ghost is a life-altering experience. You will never be the same again once you do receive the Holy Ghost for the first time. It is such an amazing thing. You're going to want it more and more. And honestly, we need it more and more. You can't get enough of it. We need Holy Ghost at all times. Because if you're ever far away, or if the Holy Ghost ever leaves you because you're in sin, we're vulnerable. We're weak, right? We need the Holy Ghost at all times. Amen. Your wants, your desires change when you get the Holy Ghost. You go from selfish to selfless. You go from hating to loving. You go from scolding to forgiving. Everything changes. This experience, Pentecost, right? It is meant to be shared. You are the bridge between him and them, the people out in Richland. You are the bridge. We're the vessel in which God works through to reach them, the people around us, our neighbors, our coworkers, everyone we see on a daily basis. You are the bridge. Let the ends of the earth see him who is in you. We got to let it show. We got to let the Holy Ghost that's inside of us, we got to let that be seen to everyone around us, right? The day of Pentecost is a historical milestone in Christianity. That was the day the church was formed. Amen. The day community was established among believers. Just as we are today, we have a community here. This is a family here, right? Amen? That happened at the day of Pentecost. So Pentecost is not only a one-day experience. It's not a day that happened long ago. Pentecost is an everyday experience. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, please. For the promise is unto you and your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You can experience it. I can experience it. Your friends, your family, your children, they can all experience it. It's promised unto all of us. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that is our Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. I am thankful for the Holy Ghost because I can't seem to remember anything that ever happens in my life. So I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost because he allows me to have a strong memory. He allows me to remember what it was like to have the Holy Ghost for the first time. I am thankful to be reminded by the great things God has done in my life because of that Holy Ghost. Amen. So we need the Holy Ghost for guidance, right? We need it to know which way to go, which turns to take, right? So when you kind of think about it, I mean, the Holy Ghost is kind of like a self-automated vehicle, you know? It knows when to stop, slow down, turn. Maybe it even foresees any potential hazards. That's how the Holy Ghost works in you. It gives you warnings. You know, don't go this way because this might happen to you, right? So it's kind of like a self-automated vehicle. It never reacts late. No lag. There's no lag, right, Coop? There's no lag. The Holy Ghost is perfect. So our physical brain has its limitations. It is a phenomenal creation. And I'm not saying God made us imperfectly, but truth is we are imperfect. You know, God's creation is perfect, but we are not God. So while our brain has its limitations, the Holy Ghost does not. Our goal as a body, as a church body, is that everyone gets to have their own personal Pentecost. No one here should be left out. And if you are, please let us know because we want to help you pray. We want to help you break through. We want to see you receive the Holy Ghost. We want to see you walk in the Holy Ghost. Amen? This experience is necessary to receive the fullness of God. You know, it's one thing to just come to church and just feel God. There's more to feeling God than to just feel God. You can, why just stop there when you can have God inside of you? Amen? I just want everyone to know, you have a family of believers here. If you need prayer, we'll pray with you. You need a Bible study, let's open our Bibles together. Amen. We are here to help you grow at Tower of Pentecost. So if there's one thing you learned hopefully today is that we need the Holy Ghost
and that we need to have our own personal Pentecost. We can't be dependent on other people's Pentecostal experience, on their Holy Ghost. We need to have the Holy Ghost inside of us as well. Amen. So I will end on that thought. I thank you for the opportunity again, Pastor, everyone here who is willing to listen to me. It truly is a blessing to be a part of this church family, to see my own personal development and to see the development of everyone else here. You're in a great place, and I'm happy to be a part of it. And I am just blessed by each and every single one of you. So thank you so much. Hey, Brian Long, would you do us the honor of dismissing us tonight? Thank you.